Ah, there we go. Okay. So, can you please say your name and your year?
Okay. Oh, should I hold it? No. Okay. Sorry. didn't mean to like touch your mic. My name is Lucas Bautista. I am a second year student. I am a second student. Yeah, I'm a second year student. Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. So, the first question.
Why did you say that? I said like I stumbled a lot and.
You overthought it. Yeah. You don't get a second chance.
Oh, boy. Oh, well. Okay.
Okay. So the very first question, how do you feel about the statement, race is not real? And there's not like a right or wrong, like that can be loaded. Just
speak. Well, I guess like when I think about the statement, race is not real, it obviously depends on who it's coming from, but like I understand the idea that race is not a real thing, like it's socially constructed, but and it's not really like you can't really, there's no way to really see like what is your race, like you can't test for it or anything, but it's real in the sense that people still use the idea of race to discriminate, so it's a real in the idea that it's a concept that exists and people use it to discriminate people against people. And it's very real in that sense. But I do understand also in the sense that it's not real because race isn't a real thing, you know, like, and it's only people's perception of what race is. And, you know, so that's really, and it's obviously still real, but it's not fair. But I think a lot of times people try to take away from it by saying it's not real, because I think that's not fair, because it doesn't acknowledge that it's definitely something that affects our society today.
Do you think it depends on who it's coming from, that statement?
I think it depends on what their meaning behind what they're saying is. If it's meant to discredit the struggle that people face in the eye of like racism and race, and try to say that it's not real by discrediting people's experiences, I don't think that's fair way to say race is not real. If it's someone arguing that race is not even real and that's why we shouldn't use racism, like that's why racism isn't like just kind of pointless, you know, like it doesn't have any meaning behind it because it's not a real thing, then that makes a little bit more sense. But either way, you can't really like take away from that experience of racism and race. In any culture. Yeah.
Let's expand a tiny bit more on that. Have you ever been in some sort of argument about this? Have you felt as though that's been something used against you, or like in a way that enhances privilege? Like, how does it make you feel?
I haven't had that many like intense conversations with people about race. Like, I don't really have, if I do have a conversation with someone, it's usually with someone who either agrees with me or, I just never really been used against me. What was the question again?
It's okay. I mean, it was just like how the concept race is not real, if that makes you like have any like visceral reaction, like,
Yeah, I think if it was that, like, if it was someone who was like, why are people complaining? Race isn't even real. Like, it's that sort of attitude, I would probably be pretty upset. Because that's clearly coming from someone who doesn't have that same experience. It's just someone who doesn't come from that same experience or has that kind of mindset of, like, not acknowledging other people's experiences. Yeah. Not very empathetic.
What are your feelings or thoughts on POC culture on Antioch's campus?
Wow. Feelings or thoughts? I don't know if I can, like, I don't even know how to, like, where to start. I guess I just, I'm glad that people of color, there's a strong, I'm glad that there's a group that people of color can go to, but I don't think there's a lot of unity between people of color on campus, whether if it's people who actually attend POC meetings or whether it's people from different backgrounds who don't get along, or whether it's just people, like, there's, I feel like there's a lot of disagreement, and I think the school doesn't necessarily respect or take seriously the needs of the people of color on campus, and not only, and that's people of color, all people of color, that's including faculty and including staff. They don't really take the needs of them into account. And I think I feel like I come from a unique perspective of being identifying both as white and a person of color, but it's hard to understand other people's experiences if you haven't experienced them. So I really understand that, and I understand why people have a hard time sometimes, but it's kind of like being more selfless and like not thinking about yourself, like acknowledging that other people have that, those other experiences, and when they're telling you how you feel, really accepting and acknowledging that. And maybe if you don't feel the same way, that's okay, but like you need to be understanding of those other people.
Do you think that POC culture on ANIAC's campus is a positive thing?
Wow, I don't know if you can just like make a general statement like it's a positive thing or it's a negative thing. I think it's positive to have a culture of POC on campus. I don't know if that's what you're asking. What,
like our campus, like do you think there's a good, do you think POC culture is a good like influence, if you will, on the general culture of ANIAC?
I do, but like I always think there's ways to improve it too. Yeah, but I think any sort of support of people of color on a campus is important and has a positive influence for students, you know, because students have that place to go.
Yeah. But what about our our culture? Our POC.
Yeah, I think it is. Right now, it's a pretty big positive influence because it's helping things change for people of color on campus. But I don't think everyone sees it that way, which is kind of sad. Yeah.
Okay. So if you could put into your own words kind of the purpose behind the Day of Disappearance, the Day of Action, if you will, and what were the results of that, why it was triggered, if you can.
Yeah, well, I guess the Day of Disappearance was interesting because I could see two results coming from it, which is everyone notices and says, whoa, like, look at all these people that are missing, and then recognizes people of color. And then the other instance where no one really notices that all these people of color were gone, which kind of just shows that people of color are kind of invisible on campus, which both kind of prove our point, but I kind of feel like the latter happened, which is really sad to me, because it really does prove that point that like people of color are not really recognized on campus. I think another difficult thing was that not all people of color participated fully, which that's not like people should feel like no one should feel like they have to participate in anything or any sort of identifying group. But I think that would have really had the impact that they wanted, that we wanted, that the group wanted, that at least I wanted. So yeah. Yeah.
That's good. So it was not, just to make everything clear, it wasn't as impactful as you wanted it to be, or it was very impactful because of the lack of impact?
I think the purpose was to have an impact on the campus as a whole, and being like, look, we're not here. Whether it did or didn't, do you want to move?
It's fine.
Okay. Whether it did or didn't is a different question. But I think it was impactful in the way that people of color and faculty of color got together on campus and they really talked about issues that were important to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the interviews I've done, kind of went along the lines of like how that was a really great model for how you can have productive, interruptive action. Mm-hmm. That was a positive thing and left everyone feeling included and had a better understanding in the room. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Why do you think it was so successful in that way?
I think everyone kept a really open mind. And it was done in person, and we had much more participation. I think in person is a big thing. Like, a lot of things, a lot of times conversations happen over the internet, or like, not even over the internet, but like word of mouth. Like, this person said this, and then this person said this. And it's on a small campus, things spread so quickly, and it's like, you never actually get the true story, and that happens with so many different things. I think it's just like, it's not a general, like, it's not a POC problem, it's just a general campus problem of communication. And the fact that one of the most successful times that we've all communicated as a school is in POC makes me really happy. To show, like, yeah, we got this communication thing down. Yeah.
Yeah, I personally felt, like, very proud that, like, of just, like, how, like, gracious and tactful everyone was, and how this is like this really big thing that's happening, and they couldn't find one trace of dirt on anything we did. We weren't late. We were respectful. We weren't like just letting ourselves getting stepped on either. Like, it was a very fine line, that this tightrope almost, that Melly and everyone walked very graciously on. And I was like, yes. Okay.
You should have come to the thing on
yesterday?
Tuesday. What was it? Tuesday.
Yeah, I was sick.
Sorry.
What would you guys
No, it was just really great. It was really great. Really important.
Fuck.
No, not in a bad way. There were some other things that, like, happened towards the end. The frustrating thing was that, like, the conversation had to get cut off. And I think that's another complicated thing. The fact that we had, like, 8 hours to talk about things, and we were just in a room with each other for 8 hours and talked about things, that made a huge impact. And it's, like, it's much different when it's, like, okay, we're going to have dialogue, we're going to talk, we're going to let everyone speak, we're going to acknowledge all the points, but we only have an hour to do it, so hurry up. Or we only have 2 hours to do it, and it's like, neither one of those two are enough time. And I think people made that point, too, at the later meeting, and it's like, it's not like, okay, we're going to have a dialogue, here's the time for the dialogue, and we're done with the dialogue. It's like, that's an ongoing thing. It's a continuous thing that always keeps...
Can you kind of explain what happened at that meeting as well?
Wow, there's a lot. I might have a different perception of what happened than other people.
It's about your perception, though. Like, this is what this.
It had a little bit of a rough start. There was like a little bit of a disagreement on who should start. I was really supportive of Melly. She was amazing. I think she was, like, really great. She really, like, spearheaded the whole thing. And that was very good. And I think the faculty and staff, or the president's staff, I don't know who was there. I think it's the president's staff, really got a better understanding of what we wanted, and the board. And I don't think... They don't seem in opposition to what we want, and I don't think they were ever that much in opposition. I understand where they're coming from, which is really good, and we understand that these decisions are coming from a place a little bit higher up. You know, it's not directly from them, but I think what was disappointing was that at the end, and this is just my interpretation, and I don't know, I think Tom is like really good and he's doing his best, but I felt like at the end, and I don't think this was his intention, but a kind of like brushing off of the whole situation, trying to pass responsibility, he kind of just like turned to Amelia and was like, hey, like, do you think Comsol can do this to continue this discussion? And it was like, that was really upsetting. And then he kind of brought up the 10 points that we had demanded. And he's like, well, that was really easy to agree to because 5 or 6 of those points are already in our plan. And that was like really frustrating for me. And I don't think he meant it in a bad way, but it sounded bad to me because it was like, yeah, it was easy to agree something that we were already doing. And it's like, that's not why we asked for this. Like, we know what you're doing. There are people here who are on the diversity committee. We understand what the process, like, we understand what the school is doing for diversity. We made those demands because those needs weren't being met. And so to tell us that they were already in the plan just felt really insulting and kind of condescending. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. You're allowed to feel that.
Yeah. But I don't want to be overly critical of Tom because I feel like he just got here. He's still getting used to things and he's really trying. And I think it's important to acknowledge everything he's facing, which is a lot. So I don't blame him. But I do think there was a better way to like deal with that situation.
Thanks for sharing that. I know that's not, you know, because you don't want to like start stuff and this won't go anywhere you don't want it to, but you know. Okay. Do you think having a POC hall is a form of self-segregation?
No, I do not think that. I think it's really, and this is something I was thinking about during the meeting too. I don't think the word self-segregation should be used. I see it a lot, like the way people use reverse racism, and I know someone else made this point, but I was thinking about it too. Segregation was based on a form of oppression. Like when you segregate someone, you are trying to oppress them. It doesn't mean to separate. It means to segregate. You could just say people are separating themselves. No one's saying that. People are saying self-segregation. Just because you add self doesn't take away that whole history of oppression that comes with the word segregation. And we did this, you probably remember, we did this impactful thing where Kebe, this impactful exercise where Kebe asked everyone, she said, what's the first thing, like, just say the first thing that comes to your mind. And she said segregation, and someone said dogs. And that was actually the first thing that came to mind in my mind, too, which was, like, crazy, because I was, like, about to say it, and then someone else said it, and it was, like, but, yeah, it was, you know, it's just,
why dogs?
Just, like, thinking of the South and, like, dogs, like, going after African American, like, black people, mm-hmm. and, like, you know, like, that's the most, like, I think emotional response is like, I imagine like dogs going after people who were protesting, like being attacked by dogs, just because they wanted freedom. And so that's always like a really upsetting image. So I think even though like the term self-segregation shouldn't even be used anymore because that's, oh, sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Just because, it feels like really insulting, you know? And I don't think people mean it that way, but that's how I feel personally, because it's like, that's just a system based on oppression, just like racism is based on oppression. Like, you can't have really reverse racism. I don't really believe in self-segregation. I think also when people are quote-unquote self-segregating, what they're really doing is they're empowering themselves. Like, that's the whole thing. This isn't about oppressed, like, people of color aren't self-oppressing, you know, that's not what's going on here. It's people of color who are want a community, want to feel, not only want to feel safe, but they want their own community. And, you know, that to me, that's more empowering than degrading that this, what's happening to the term self-segregation. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, I have two follow-up questions. Yeah. First thing, do you believe that, so the term self-segregation was brought up because this was an issue of race, right? Mm-hmm. Those words are not used when we, in terms of women color, women halls, men halls, gender neutral halls. Do you believe that in itself was an act of like oppression or racism? Or maybe ignorance?
Yeah, ignorance, I think maybe like slight microaggression, maybe. I don't know what to call it. I don't really have a name for it. But I think, yeah, it did come up because of race. Which I don't think is necessary. Like, maybe people who brought that up don't see it as problematic. And I don't think they were trying to use it in a problematic way. But I'm just, I'm only saying what I just said because I've had a lot of time to think about it. And, like, it's easy to be all righteous and be like, you shouldn't use this term because blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, I probably would have used self-segregation if I was talking about it in the first term. But after lots of time thinking about it, I don't feel like that term is appropriate any longer. But yeah, there needs to be like, I think a lot of times there needs to be this time where people can really work through these, like, you know, like really talking about what that means. And so having that discussion just about the word self-segregation is important.
Would you say that the dialogue during the Day of Disappearance helped make that clear for you?
Yeah, it helped make a lot of things clear for me. I didn't really comprehend, like the POC hall, like when it came up, it wasn't really like, I didn't have strong feelings either way. I wasn't like, oh, like, that's horrible. Like, you shouldn't do that. Or I wasn't like, yeah, like, that's really needed. I was like, okay. And then I did the Day of Disappearance because even though I don't personally feel like I need a POC hall, like, our POC family here at Antioch asked us for it. And it's like, if someone's asking for this and they need it for what seems like really good reasons, like, I don't see any reason that I shouldn't support it. And then hearing all those people talk, I became more and more in support of it. So it definitely like helped my support. But there were my doubts. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I had my doubts, but it's like, I didn't act on those doubts. Like, I just thought them, you know? And I think that's important for both sides. Like, people need to just like hear each other out and like really, I think that's what was helpful. Like, I think it was also helpful that the criticism of POC Hall was coming from people of color. Like, that was so much better than having white people be like, this is why you shouldn't do this. And it's like, it's hard to listen to someone who doesn't share the same experience as you. Even especially someone who not only who doesn't share the same experience as you, but comes from a very privileged background, and then telling you that what you're feeling isn't, it can feel like someone's telling you what you're feeling isn't valid. Yeah.
So that really segues nicely to my next question. Do you feel a POC hall is necessary in a small liberal arts campus like Antioch, and why, if you do? When do you have to go? I'm sorry.
No, a friend just texted me.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was it?
It's okay. Do you feel a POC hall is necessary on a small liberal arts campus like Antioch? And if you do, why?
I think it's definitely necessary in a small liberal arts campus that's in the middle of Ohio, which is, generally speaking, like a pretty homogenous population, or at least from what I've seen recently. I think it's important, yeah. I think necessary is definitely a good word to use. Because, you know, you need people to feel at home. And Melly brought up one of the best points, and I think if they're going to ignore every single point and only look at it from a very, very logical perspective, which I don't really recommend, but, like, if that's the approach that someone was going to take, just the mere idea of the school's existence needing this hall for retention of people of color is so important. And I think if, like, that's one of, like, if they're going to take nothing away from it, that might be the, I don't want to say most important. I think if you're not going to listen to all the concerns that people of color have expressed, then at least, at the very least, like, understand that on a, yeah, on that level.
Okay, so one last question. So Yellow Springs was once a place of great diversity as well as a safe haven for people of color, greatly due to Antioch College. Do you feel this could be a realistic goal to regain once again?
I just see people like, yeah, I totally could see that. But it's not just going to happen with magic and, you know, fairy dust. And it's going to happen with, like, real effort on everyone's part. That's the other thing. Like, I don't think in any of this, I think what's really frustrating, especially in the meeting, is, like, the effort is usually put on people of color. It's like, you want this, then you should work hard for it. And it's like, haven't people of color been working hard enough for, like, everything else? Like, can't they just, like, why are they working so hard for this, you know?
Is there any last, like, thought that you wanted to say to somebody, something that you want to touch on more?
Actually, I just had a thought, and I was like, I wasn't developing it.
I don't feel pressured to immediately talk.
Just like thinking about like the women's hall and like how when like that was never like, I don't know, that was just never a question, you know, like no one was like, oh look, the women are trying to self-segregate, you know, like they're trying to go back into the olden days, like when they're like, yeah, I don't know, like I like you didn't hear that sort of rhetoric, like everyone's like, oh okay, yeah, that makes sense, women need a safe place away from, you know, men, like that makes sense, yeah. Because there's a history of like oppression from men to women, you know, like, and so why is that not the same with the POC hall? I think that just kind of goes to show that there is still this very internalized racism, and I don't think it's intentional, but it's very internalized. It's very internalized, and you know, I think once you say the word racism, you have, no one wants to be called a racist. No one, even racists. I think even some racists don't want to even be called racist because it's, and it has such a strong connotation. Once you call someone a racist, like they will do anything to like not be called that. And I think there are so many different types of racism, and that's not like saying racism okay. Racism is not okay, but like there are different types of racism and different places that racism comes from, and it needs to be acknowledged that like people, like that you don't, like there needs to be a certain amount of humility from people who don't have that experience. That is just not seen. And I understand that, okay, my views are definitely, like I think people here see themselves as like maybe faculty or staff or who are involved in this discussion see themselves as an unbiased actor, but that's just not how it is, and they need to really accept that they have all these other influences that they can't control. Like, you can't control these things. Like, they're a part of who you are, and they've always been a part of who you are. And I think that's, yeah, I think that's what needs to be realized.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, it almost seems ridiculous, because the reason why women got a women's hall was for the same reasons we want a POC hall.
Yeah.
And everyone immediately is like, oh, of course, like, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I know there's, like, obviously some differences, but I don't think any of the differences are enough to say that they're completely different, like, that they're not, they don't deserve the same space for the same reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't have a problem.
Sorry, this was